The hotel man thinks, who would be a nice kala for this very special boy who is old enough to be a chosn? Well, the hotel man did not have to think very far, because the hotel man had a daughter, and she was a very fine maidel, and she was old enough to be a kala maidel. The hotel man says, my own daughter would be a very nice kala for Naftali. And this girl was a very edle, fine Yiddish girl who was the hotel man's own daughter. And the hotel man speaks to Naftali and he speaks to his daughter. Now, of course, they're not brother and sister, because Naftali was just living like a part of the family, but he wasn't really the girl's brother. Is he allowed to marry the girl? Yes, he's allowed to marry the girl. Well, Naftali said, okay, that's a good idea. And the girl said, that's a very nice idea. And they agreed that it would be nice for them to be chosn and kala. And the hotel man was very happy. That night, after they spoke, the hotel man was up very late at night, and all of a sudden he passes by Naftali's room where he expected Naftali to be asleep. But he heard talking coming from that room, and he hears crying coming from that room. Oh, something is wrong. And he listens and he hears Naftali's voice. And he says, no, I don't want to disappoint the hotel man and his family. They're so nice to me. No, I don't want to get them upset. They've saved my life. No. And the hotel man thought to himself, I wonder if Naftali's having a dream or something. He's saying, no. What's going on? How would he disappoint me and my family? Why is he crying? Well, it could be he's having a dream. The next night, the hotel man was also up late. And he was also passing again by Naftali's room. And also he started hearing again sounds and talking and crying coming from Naftali's room. And he puts his ear to the door. Not that he's snooping or eavesdropping or being nosy, chas v'shalom. He's just concerned about Naftali. And he hears crying, no, I don't want to disappoint the family. They saved my life. I don't want to get the hotel man upset. And the hotel man decided he's got to find out what's going on. What is this, all this talking? And he only hears one voice. He doesn't hear more voices. And Kinalach, he knocked on the door. And Naftali came to the door. And the hotel man said, Naftali, is everything okay? I just wanted to know, because I heard talking and I thought maybe something is wrong, and I heard you crying. I don't want to be nosy, I'm just concerned. And Naftali says to the hotel man, last night and tonight I had a dream. And it's the same dream. And I didn't want to tell you about it last night. And I didn't even want to tell you about it tonight. But since you knocked on my door, I have to tell you about it. Oh, what's the dream? Okay. Now, when a person is in a quiet place, they could have a dream. If it's noisy, can they have a dream? Okay. If you would like to hear Naftali's dream, we have to be quiet so we can hear the dream. Because if it's noisy, there's no dream. Who is ready for the dream? Naftali says, my father and my mother, they came to me in my dream. Now, of course, the father and the mother are in the other world, in Olam Haba, in Gan Eden. And they're both coming to Naphtali in his dream. And they say, Naphtali, our son, you're old enough to be a chassan. And the girl from the family, of course, would make a beautiful, nice, wonderful Yiddish kala. But this girl is not the one that you are bashert to marry. Even though she's a fine girl, this is not the girl that you are supposed to marry. She is not the wife that you're supposed to have. There's a different girl that Hashem has chosen for you to marry. It's not bashert for you to marry the hotel man's daughter, even though she's a fine girl. It's not in Hashem's plans. And that's why Naphtali said, no, I don't want to disappoint the family if I say no. I want to marry the girl, just even to make the hotel man happy in their family, and she's a fine girl. Why shouldn't I marry her? And they said, because it's not the girl you're supposed to marry, and the girl herself, she's supposed to marry a different chassan. You're going to have a different kala, and she's going to have a different chassan. So you have to say no to the hotel man and apologize, and you have to move away. It's time for you to move away, and you will find the girl you're supposed to marry and what you're supposed to do. Shh. And Kenelach, when the hotel man heard this, he knew that Naphtali is very halik, and Hashem is showing Naphtali the way. And of course, he's not going to chas v'shalem stop in any way Hashem's plans. What is the main thing? A person's plans or Hashem's plans? What's the main thing? Anybody know?
Hashem's plans.
Hashem's plans. The next day, Naphtali packed up his stuff and he thanked the hotel man and his family, and of course he explained to the girl and she understood what was going on. And she said, don't worry. Before Naphtali left, he asked the hotel man, he says, there's a very important thing I would like to ask you. Shh. I know a long time ago, when I first came to the hotel, you saved my life. And I know that you gave a bag of gold to the wagon driver. But I don't know how much money you gave him. I would like to know how much money you gave him so someday I could pay you back. I want to pay you back the money that you spent of your own money to save my life. Akinallah, we know how much money it was, but Naphtali did not know. How much was it?
200.
Well, it was a little more than that.
500
pieces of tuna fish?
Gold.
Gum?
Gold.
Gold. 500 pieces of gold. Naphtali moved away and he married a wonderful, fine lady, a fine girl. And Naphtali became the Rav of a town called Posen, or Poison. I don't know if you say it. Poison. Naphtali became the Rav of a town called Poison. Naphtali became the Rav of Poison. Not Poison, or maybe Poison, but not in English Poison. It was Poison, or Posen. P-O-S-E-N. How do you spell, how do you pronounce that? Posen? It depends who you are. Some people would say Posen. Some people would say Poison. And some people would say Paisen. So whatever it is, Posen, Poison, or Paisen, depends where you come from. That's where he was the Rav. Shh. Okay. Let us continue with this very interesting part of the story. But it is so noisy, I can't even think in my brain. This class is good. Everybody in this class wins bananas. They're so good. This class is good. You win fish. This class is good. You win ketchup. This class is good. You win bread. This class is excellent. You win farfel. The other classes, we'll see what you win. And you win so good, you get your prizes already. Shh. And there's also air and sun. Baruch Hashem, we have a sunny day. For those of you who don't know, the big ball in the sky that we didn't see for 13 days is called the sun. And it's shining out there. Okay. Shh. Now, the hotel owner's daughter also got married to a fine man who owned a store. And they lived outside of the town of Poison. Not in the town, but outside of the town, not too far away. And the man that she married, he had a store. He had a coat store. He sold coats in a coat store. Or some people would say coits or cates, whatever you would say. Coits. Well, we say coats. He sold coats. Shh. And being an honest Yid, he had an honest business and he gave tzedakah and he was a fine man. Shh. The story goes on. Shh. Okay. I might have forgotten to tell you yesterday. Maybe I did, but there's one little part I have to tell you. And I don't know if I told you the whole thing, even if I started to tell you. And that is, before Naftali left the hotel, remember he asked, Naftali wanted to know how much money the hotel man, okay, I know I told you, but I don't know if I told you something else. Naftali wanted to know how much money the hotel man spent to bribe Igor, the wagon driver. And the hotel man said to Naftali, I did the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuim, and the money to me is not important, and I don't want in any way that you should ever think to give it back to me. I never expected to get it back. I only wanted to do the mitzvah for Hashem, and of course to help you. But Naftali did not take no for an answer. He said, I want to know how much. And the hotel man would not tell him. So Naftali said, oh, please do this favor for me. Write it down. I would like to have it written down on a paper. Don't worry. The hotel man said, but I don't want you to pay me back. He says, don't worry. I respect your feeling that you don't want me to pay you back, and I will not pay you back. Only I would like you to write down on a paper how much, and please sign your name. Now the hotel man did this favor for Naftali. He wrote down, I gave Igor, the wagon driver, 500 golden coins in a bag as a bribe that he should agree to the plan that we use to save you, to save Naftali. And he signed his name, the hotel man. I don't know if his name was the hotel man. It doesn't say his name. But whatever his name was, he signed his name. And he folded up that paper and he gave it to Naftali, probably in an envelope. Shh. So Naftali had that paper with him. Okay. Naftali, years later, became the Rav of Poison. As I said, the hotel man's daughter married a fine man who had a coat store near Poison, or however we're going to say it. And everything was going along just fine. Until one day, this happened, and this is the next part of the story. The hotel man's daughter, who again, as I say, was already married, and she was very beautiful, She was walking home to their house one day. She was coming back from wherever she had been, and she was walking alone. And coming on the road was the wagon of the Poretz, the Poretz of that whole area. Let me tell you something about the Poretz before we find out what the Poretz is going to do. You think the Poretz is going to do a good thing or not a good thing? What do you think is going to happen? You feel something not good is going to happen all over here? What do you think?
Something bad.
Well, let's see. The Poretz is driving in his wagon, looking out the window. The driver is driving, and the Poretz is looking out the window. And this Poretz is upset. He is usually always upset in a bad mood. Now, many stories we've had about these Poretzes, or Poretzim, they get upset about all kinds of things, you know. The castle is too cold, or they don't have enough money for their parties, so they have to figure out new ways to get money. Or they're upset that somebody's not paying them rent, or things like that. Or maybe they went on a fox hunt and they couldn't get the fox or something like that. You know, big Poretz problems. This Poretz had all those problems and even a bigger problem. This is the Poretz's problem. Nobody would marry the Poretz. He couldn't get married. Now, all the other stories we always had was a Poretz and his wife, you know. Well, there was always a wife to a Poretz. Why wouldn't she want to marry the Poretz? He's a big millionaire. He lives in a big castle. But no lady would want to marry this Poretz. He was just such a person that nobody would want to marry. He was a very difficult man, and no lady wanted to marry. We will not go into details about, you know, how he was. But whenever he tried to get married, whenever he wanted a lady to marry him, she said, "No, no, I'm sorry. No." So this Poretz was always upset. "I'm not married. I don't have a wife. No lady wants to marry me." Basically, he was, you know, really disgusting. And nobody wanted to marry him. We will not go into detail. Shh. Okay. And he is driving along this road, and he sees this very beautiful lady walking on the road. As you can understand and figure out, there is going to be some trouble over here. And tomorrow, we cannot continue with this story, it's like Boimer. It'll have to wait till next week. So keep away from that road because the Poretz is there. Lag Baomer. Lag Baomer. We continue in the story of Naphtali. One day, the hotel man's daughter was walking home, and she was all alone on the road. And she was very beautiful. Rami Burstyn, what do we care what she looks like exactly? Well, that's, of course, this part of the story. The Poretz of that area is riding in his wagon, going down the same road as the wife of as the daughter of the hotel man. She's all alone on the road except for the Poretz and his wagon with his horses and his driver. And the Poretz was in a very bad mood that day. Well, there's all kinds of things Poretz is getting bad moods about. And this particular Poretz had a particular problem that other Poritzes didn't particularly have that problem. And he was in a very bad mood over that problem. And that was, he was not married. Well, why doesn't he get married? He's a rich man. He could afford to have a wife and buy her all the fancy Poritz stuff that Poritz' wives wear and the parties and all that kind of thing. The problem was, nobody would marry him. Why wouldn't they marry him? Well, he was just disgusting, and the old lady wanted to marry him. For whatever reasons, very ugly, and very not nice, and a lot of other things that the Poritz ladies wanted to stay away from this Poritz and marry another Poritz, or anybody else, but not him. Well, he was in a very bad mood. I'm all alone in my castle, and nobody will marry me. Oh, it's so upsetting. All of a sudden, as he's riding in his wagon, he sees this beautiful lady walking down the road. Oh, the poet said, a beautiful lady walking down the road. Well, well, wouldn't it be nice if I would take this lady to my castle and she would marry me. After all, nobody marries me. Well, what'll I do? I'll catch the lady, I'll put her in my wagon, take her to my castle, and that's it. I'm sure she'll love it there. It's such a beautiful castle up on the hill. And then that way I'll have a wife. 'Cause the regular way to ask the lady to marry me, well, they don't do that. They don't like me. Well, this lady, she's walking all alone on the road. I'll just catch her and put her in my wagon. This lady who's walking on the road, I'll just catch her and put her in my wagon. And can Allah, the Poritz, drives by the lady. And his driver runs out and catches the lady and puts her in the wagon and then locks the door. And she starts to scream, and he says, don't scream, you're going to my castle, we're going to have a chassidah. Well, he didn't exactly sing that nigun. And this lady sees she's in very big danger. But she's a smart lady, and she saw screaming is not going to help, and running away is not going to help because she's locked in the wagon. She's going to think of a smart plan. And they go to the castle, and the Poritz is now taking her up to the top of the castle, because a castle doesn't have one floor. Did you ever see a one-floor castle? Or a castle has, you know, like 5 floors, or maybe 10, and all kinds of towers and stuff like that. Well, he took her up to the top of the castle, and he locked her up in the room at the top of the castle in one of the towers and said, okay, now you're going to marry the Poritz. She says, wait a minute. Did you ever go to a wedding without food? I don't see any food. If there's going to be a wedding, you have to have food. By a wedding, you have delicious food. Where's the food? He says, well, I think I'm out of food. I'll go down to the kitchen to see. And the Poritz goes down to the kitchen, and he's out of food. And he comes back, I'm all out of food. There's nothing to eat in the whole castle. She says, so how can you have a wedding without food? You have to go to town and shop and get food. And then you can have the wedding. Because you can't have a wedding without food. You're right. I also didn't go to a wedding that they didn't serve food. What? It's going to be a cheap wedding over here? Nothing to eat? No, I'm the Poritz. I'm a rich man. No, we'll have food. I'll go shopping, then I'll come back. And now, Kinalak, the Poritz gets back into his wagon, and he goes to the town to get food. Now, do you think the lady cares about food, or she wants to just get out of that castle? What do you think? She wants to eat food, or she wants to escape from the castle? What do you think?
escape from the castle.
She wants to escape from the castle. Okay, she wants to get out of class. Now, this kid wants to get out of class. Now, what does the lady do? Want to escape from the castle or get out of the castle? What do you think?
Get out of the castle.
She wants to get out of the castle more than you want to get out of the castle. Okay. This was the plan of the lady, the smart Yiddish cub of the lady, to be able to escape from the Baretz by sending him to get food. Because she saw that he wasn't too smart or clever or bright. And he is now going to the town. She is locked up in the castle. And now it's time that she must escape. But there is no way out. She's locked in the room. The only way out is through the window. The window is way up high in a tower. And if you look down, you see the garden and you see the hill. Well, the garden is full of bushes and plants and trees and grass. And she decides the only way out is to jump. But if you jump from way up high, even into grass and flowers and stuff like that, it might make a big boo-boo. And it's not going to be too good to jump out of a tower, even into the grass. So she's thinking quickly, and she says, if I find something in the room that's going to be very soft, and I could use that to protect myself, like a big pillow or something, that will make the fall easier, and maybe I'll be okay, even though I'm jumping out of a tower. And she's looking around, what could I use, like some kind of a big pillow or something? And she sees, all of a sudden, hanging over there on the wall, a big coat. A big winter coat made out of lamb's wool, like a Shepselah wool. Did you ever see a Shepselah wool coat? A sheep wool coat, very fuzzy and wuzzy. You saw that?
Okay.
Huh?
Yeah.
Saw that? Is that soft?
Yeah.
It's very soft. And she says, I'm going to put on this coat and jump out the window. And she takes the coat. This is the Poritz's winter coat. And she puts it on and she notices it's very heavy. Now, a heavy coat is heavy. But this was not only a heavy coat. It was a very heavy coat. She says, boy, is this coat heavy. Well, she put it on anyway, and she goes over to the window. What do you think she did when she gets to the window? She what? She jumps out the window. Of course, she is trusting in Hashem to help her out of this tough situation. And she lands in the grass and the flowers, and Baruch Hashem, she was okay. And she runs away. And she goes all the way home. And of course, when the Poritz comes back to the castle with the food, and he goes over there, well, did he have a chasana in the castle? Or was he all alone still? He was all alone. Well, he had his food. He probably sat down and ate up the food. But that was it. He was very, very in a bad mood. Even after he ate up all the food, he was in a very bad mood because the lady got away. Well, Baruch Hashem, the lady got home, and the husband was so thankful that she escaped from the Poritz. And of course, she told him the whole story. Okay, tomorrow, now the story is not over yet, because this is a long story. So tomorrow, Blinetter, we will continue. If the lunchroom is so quiet like now, I think we will be able to finish the story tomorrow. Bez Hashem. The next day, the woman's husband goes to work. And as we said, he had a store. And the man is in the store. And all of a sudden, do you know whose wagon pulled up in front of the coat store? The Poritz's fancy wagon pulls up in front of the coat store. Shh. And the Poritz comes out without a coat. He doesn't have a coat on. and it's pretty cold outside. Well, if it's cold outside and the Poritz pulled up in front of the coat store, what do you think he wants to buy over there? A dozen eggs? What do you think?
A coat.
A coat. That's right. And all of a sudden the Poritz comes into the coat store and he says, I have to buy a new coat. I'm cold. I need a good coat. My other coat, which was a very good coat, got stolen from my castle. I'm so upset.